So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But let's get into the word today. I want to talk to you on the subject today, an alignment is needed. An alignment is needed. Now, there are so many Christians that are preoccupied with circumstances, that all they do is look at their circumstances and look at what's going on around them, and they become preoccupied. They're forever praying to God about changing their circumstances. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand if you're sitting next to one of those, but you know who they are, and you might be one of them. That the biggest, the most frequented prayer that many Christians pray is about their circumstances and God, and wanting God to change the circumstances around them. And we pray, God, change our circumstances. But I come by to tell you that many of our circumstances is a direct correlation to our actions. And many times we blame the devil for stuff he didn't have nothing to do with. Oh, you better preach now. And so we're always seeking to change their circumstances and continually frustrated by the lack of change. Now, what happens when all you do is pray about your circumstances, believing God and praying for them, but yet you don't see the change? You begin to wonder whether or not God is powerful enough to change the circumstances. And the reality is, prayer does more to change us than it does our circumstances. We want God to go abracadabra and wave a magic wand over us and poof the magic dragon, our lives are better. But that's not the case. The case is God comes in and cleans you up. He straightens up your stinking thinking. You begin to move from an area of uncertainty and an area of no direction. And you get in with God and he gives you direction. And you begin to move in an area and get things in alignment. True sustainable change is not only possible, but it is promised. And you need to know that. Well then, Pastor, why hasn't my life changed? Let me ask you this question. Have you changed inside? But I'm saved. I didn't ask you if you were saved. Have you changed inside? Because you can be saved and still be stupid. If you was a jerk before you got saved, you may still be a jerk after you get saved. Well, Pastor, when will that change? When you get enough of this in your life that it starts clouding out and rooting out and pushing out all the other stuff in your life. This is what changes you, not a huck and buck and shouting and falling out. No, those are good things, but that ain't the change. The change comes as you fill yourself up with the word, as you fill yourself up with the teachings, the principles and concepts and precepts of God's word. It pushes out all the other things that you thought was truth. But we need to discover the method by which God provides this change in our life. I'm going to attempt today to help you with some of that because an alignment is needed. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to verse 8 and verse 9. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, verse 9. Because we find Paul praying for his circumstances to change. And if there was ever a man that knew how to get a prayer answered, it was Paul. Paul, not only did he know how to get a prayer answered, he had faith out the wazoo. Pastor, what's the wazoo? I'm not sure, but it was out there when Paul had it. My man Craig is getting there. As soon as you get there, throw it up. Oh, you're waiting for everybody else to get there. That's what it is. Because he knows everybody's going to go there. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord. This is Paul talking. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. He's talking about what he called a thorn in his flesh. And that wasn't his wife. That wasn't his neighbor. That wasn't his boss. But there was something there that plagued him, and he prayed 3 times that it might leave. But here's what God spoke back and said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy, I want you to get it, are more than enough, always available regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected. My power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me, may dwell in me. Father, I pray that prayer today that you may completely enfold us in your mercy and in your greatness and in your grace. In the name of Jesus, and the church said amen. Amen. Now we're going to go, and I'm giving Craig a warning, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12 verse 2, the Amplified Version, in just a moment. But after this, when Paul prayed this prayer, we never find Paul praying for circumstances to change again. Because after this, his mindset had changed. Lord, I just can't take no more. Now his mindset had changed, and he spoke over and over about being able to do all things through Christ. Come on, somebody. He spoke over and over about being greater than the circumstances and stronger than the environment. He quit praying, Lord, deliver me from the circumstances. Lord, change my circumstances. And he began to say things, I am well able to conquer. I am well able to overcome. I am able to endure. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He begins to speak over the circumstances and not just deal with the circumstance. Somebody hear me. So then in Romans chapter 12 verse 2 in the Amplified, he says this, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. As you mature spiritually, how do I mature spiritually? By renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, perfect, in his plan and purpose for you. I want you to go back one slide there, Craig, because I really want to zero in on as you mature spiritually. I pray to God that I'm not the same Christian I was 30 years ago. But the problem is we have 20-year-old Christians that have a beard and a mustache, but you still have an apart to put the bottle in. Because you don't have enough of a word to blow your nose. You don't have enough power to blow your nose. Why? Because, reading the Bible doesn't do much for me. What I like is getting in the presence of the Lord. What I like is when the music starts moving and I feel. That's why I like the feeling. The feeling don't last. Because you live in a fallen state. So you live around fallen people, and that has the ability to suck the life out of you. That's why you got to have some substance in your life, for when the Word of God, when you can't feel Jesus, you know that He's there, and you speak over your life, I am well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. He is able to do it. So point number one is changed by the entire renewal of your mind. That's how I got to be changed. By the entire renewal of my mind. Not just by a little do better. Not just by a little touch. Not a little dab or do you. Not a little, oh, I feel Jesus and I'm going to change. No, no. By the renewing of your mind. That's how you've got to be changed. Because listen to me. If you don't understand, the Bible has a great many things to say about your mind. About your mind. Now, because our thinking forms the foundation of our life. Did you hear that? Our thinking forms the foundation of our life. Solomon said, guard thy heart, for out of it flows all the issues of life. And so you've got to change your whole thinking. You know, I love the old saying, the word of God was given to straighten out our stinking thinking. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I'll do mine. How many of you have thought one thing until you begin to read the Word of God? Your mama, your daddy told you one thing, and that's what you thought was truth until you got into the Word of God, and you realized that what they taught you was not truth. Come on, somebody. See, I know some old men who will tell a married man that everybody needs a little extra piece on the side. That ain't godly. Find me that in the Word of God. That is not God. I'll tell you what that'll do. That'll get you killed. Especially if your wife watches Forensic Files. That'll get you killed, cut up, put in some lie. No, sir, baby, that ain't godly. That is not of God. We was watching, me and my wife and I began a little series yesterday. We was watching, and apparently this one woman, she was abducted, and she was abducted for 6 years, but they thought she had died. And then 6 years later, there was a detective. He had already remarried somebody, and they were married and raised a child. And then the woman was found alive and came back into their life. I said, boy, that's awkward. My wife said, oh, that wouldn't be awkward. I'd kill her. That wouldn't be awkward at all. I'd put her out of her misery. You mine. I was like, all right, girl. So if that ever happens to me, I'm leaving town. If we wish to change or improve the way that we live, I want you to catch this. If you want to improve the way that you live, if you want to change the way in which you're living, you got to change the way that you think. In order to improve the way that you live, you got to start on the thought level. Because you are the sum total of everything that you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So not only embraces the whole of a man's being, but it is so comprehensive as to reach out to every condition and circumstances of life. When stuff happens, who do you blame? I'll tell you, you determining how you think determines how you believe or who you blame. How many people, don't point at them, know people that if anything happens, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never their own fault. Usually, it's your spouse's fault. Ain't that right, Dana? Usually, it is somebody else's fault. I remember I was on vacation with church members. I don't do that anymore. I was on vacation with three couples from the church, and one of them locked his keys in the car, and all of a sudden it was his wife's fault. I mean, he was talking crazy. He's like, I ought to just take a brick and bust out the window. I said, the window's going to cost a lot more than a locksmith, bro. I mean, he was a fussing and Christian cussing. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. We Christians, we might not curse, but we cuss. We Christian cuss. Bless their heart. Come on. And so, as a man thinketh, so is he. So a man is literally what he thinks, his character being complete sum of all of his thoughts. So what you continually think about, what you think continually, that's who you are. Well, no, I was born this way. No, you wasn't. You developed that. As the plant springs forth and could not without the seed, so every act of a man springs forth from the hidden seeds of thought and could not appear without them. Are you listening to me? What do you mean? If the seed is not there, it cannot come up. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never planted weeds. I mean, I do stuff to keep the weeds out of the flower beds of my house, but they always find their way there. So I have to be intentional. I have to be intentional to spray the weeds, keeping mind that I don't spray the good from the bad. So I either have to spray them with something to cause them to die, or I have to physically rip them out. Well, Pastor, why? I put down Visqueen, I put down everything I know, but as the life happens and the winds blow and the storms come, it just pushes and throws weed seeds in my flower beds and they come up. I cannot keep them from coming up, but what I can keep them is from taking over. What I can keep them is that I can keep them at bay by spraying them with the Holy Ghost and by pulling them up by the Word of God and causing to plant more seeds of the Word than I do of this world, so that I will have the flower bed that is pretty. Now don't judge my sermon. Don't go by my house right now. Because this applies equally to those acts called spontaneous, unpremeditated, as to those which are deliberately executed. Because listen to me. I don't know. Yeah, thank you. Act is the blossom of thought. You don't ever act without there being a thought there. There's got to be a thought there first, and thought takes precedence, right? And anything that you do continuously, it becomes a habit. I mean, when you were trying to break the habit of cigarettes or the habit of alcohol, there is a mental addiction, but there's also a physical addiction because it's a physical habit. My God, why don't you get a habit of reaching for the Word of God first thing in the morning? Why don't you get a habit of reaching for the presence of God first thing in the morning? Why don't you have a habit of getting into the presence of God and seeing what God wants you to do and what He wants to say to you? A noble and God-like character is not a thing of favor or chance, but it is the natural result of continued effect in the right thinking, the effect of long-cherished association with God-like thoughts. You ever think, where'd that thought come from? Well, you can't help sometimes thoughts coming into your life, but you can help them building a house. I'm gonna leave that out. Scripture speaks of going straight, not turning to the left or nor to the right. Joshua chapter 1, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left so that you may have success wherever you go. Man, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's not egotistical, but I believe that God wants us to be successful in whatever we put our hands to. And so in order to have success, then you can't go to the left or the right of the truth of what you already know. All right, so point number two is this. An alignment is necessary to getting the best results. How many's ever got your car aligned? Yeah, several of us. Some of you need it. That's why your tires are wearing out. That's why when you get to church, you're all tired because you've been wrestling with that thing the whole week. Have you ever driven a car that's bad out of alignment? I have. If you let the wheel go, it's going to go to the left or to the right. It's just going to veer there. And when a car is out of alignment, it always veers one way or the other. It never goes straight. You got to fight to keep it straight. There is pressure to keep it straight. And if you get tired of fighting, you will find yourself in the ditch. Might not immediately, but eventually. My God, somebody hear me. And you're wondering, well, this Christian thing ain't working. No, you got tired of fighting, baby. You got tired of struggling, and you just let go of the wheel. And you said, Jesus, take the wheel, but Jesus wasn't in the car. And the world took the wheel, and it veered you right off into a ditch. It wears you out. Listen, when you are out of alignment, it wears you out. It wears out your tires. It wears out a whole lot of problems that Jim could tell you more about. Jim Richmond at Auto Analysts, where you can get a good alignment. I expect $10. Or Citrus Transmission. I think they do them too. Yeah, there you go. Where's Larry? I'll do that in 11 o'clock service. It wears you out. It wears out your car. It wears out help me, Jim. It wears out the ball joints. It wears out the tie rods. It wears out tires. What else? Wears out the driver. All right, that's good enough. Anyway, it wears out your car. And you're fussing about your car not riding good and not driving good. And all these parts are being wore out because you didn't get an alignment. And usually the alignment happens over time. It gets out of alignment over time or hitting a pothole. My God, I could preach a little while right there on the potholes of life. Man, you were just going down the road and poof, tragedy happens. You were just going on life, poof, and something happened in your life. Poof, something happened in your family, and you got a pothole, and all of a sudden you're out of alignment, and you keep veering, and you keep veering. Well, sometimes you might need to change roads. Help me, somebody. But not only is it inconvenience, it is downright dangerous. And cursing and cussing at your ride isn't going to get the problem fixed. The only solution is to get the car into the shop and get an alignment adjusted. See, our life's the same way. If we keep veering off to the left or to the right, success eludes us always. You're never going to find success because you're in one ditch to another ditch. You know, you ain't been but 15 feet because as soon as you got out of this ditch, you went right into the other ditch. How many folks do you know, don't point at them, but man, they're either over here or way over here. God's trying to get you to get the balance. Get the balance in life. I mean, I know one guy, and I won't call his name. I think he's better now. But I remember back when I've been saved a long time. But when I was first saved, this worship music you heard today, that was not of God. You had to sing out of the Redback hymns for it to be godly. And son, he was on that. He was on his high horse for a long time. If you sang off the wall, what he would call it, then you were not of God. And then he got a revelation about praise and worship. And the next thing I know, he's having a hymn burning ceremony at his church. Burned to the hymns. What is that? Off one hymns. He was on one side, then he went completely to the other. See, I know that they're still good in the hymns and they're still good in the worship. Come on, somebody. My God, let's don't get away from the hymns. Those are some songs that got some of us through. Come on, somebody. Help me, Jesus. See, our life's the same way. Cursing and cussing ain't going to fix it. Complaining about your life, how unfair, unjust it is a waste of time. You know, there was a guy down in, I can't remember where it was, but I saw it on news at some point in time the last couple of weeks, that he killed a woman because he was walking through the neighborhood and everybody's lives looked so good. that everybody had money and everybody had a good, nice life, and he got tired of it because he didn't, and he killed somebody because of it. I believe that's a little off to the left or the right. That's not normal. And how many of us judge people on what they have and talk about it ain't fair? Well, if you're willing to do what they did, you can have what they have. Oh, my God, somebody hear me. Amen. See, I rejoice when people get blessed. I rejoice when people get a new house, a new car. I rejoice when they pay off bills. I rejoice. But why? Because I know that if God can do it for them, and I got stuff on them, I know stuff on them. If God can do it for them, I know he can do it for me. Come on, somebody. See, listen, church, the word was given to change the way a man thinks. One aligns his mind by studying the word of God. I mean, I would say that 99% of Christians don't study the word of God. Well, I'd say 98 don't study, but 99 don't study and 98 don't read it. At least give yourself a fighting chance. At least read it. And then when you study it, don't get stupid. Mm-hmm. That you get so heavenly minded, ain't nothing. You see devils everywhere. Oh, the light. Look. Oh, my God, that's a devil. It's different than over there. No, baby, it's the light going out. It's a lamp. It's all right. We're going to get a new one. Don't worry about it. I've seen some of y'all, in the name of Jesus, come out. No, it don't need to be come out. We want it to stay home. Because the bulb is $230. We want it to stay on a little while. We've been trying to get the life out of it. Don't be rebuking the devil. I'm going to tell y'all right now, if that thing cleared up right now, I'd be like, all right, well, whatever. All right, hallelujah. The only way we can have the mind of Christ is studying what the mind of Christ looks like. Amen. It ain't what mama said you said. Have you ever repeated what your mom and daddy said to find out that it's not in the Word of God? My father-in-law used to say all the time, well, son, the good book says the Lord helps those who help themselves. And finally one day I said, where's verse of scripture in there? I don't know, but I know it's there. I go, no, there's a sentiment there, but it is not there. I looked on all the versions. It ain't there. The Word of God instructs us in Philippians 4:8. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your mind on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, your mind is like that garden. It can be carefully cultivated or left to grow wild. Man, I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all know me. And y'all know, you know, my wife talks about sometimes, baby, I wish you would edit. And I go, I do edit. If I didn't edit, y'all would probably vote me out. I'm telling you right now. I edit from up here. But I know me. My mind is weird. And if I don't keep the right things in my mind, I'm way out there. Hallelujah. Your mind is either cultivated or it's left to grow wild. Either way, it will not be barren. I want you to hear me this. Either way, it will not be barren. Something's going to grow in that mind. Something is going to grow in the garden of your mind. So you decide what's going to grow there. Weeds or what you decide you want to grow there. Hallelujah. If no useful seeds, I had to put this a little small, but I wanted you to get this. If no useful seeds are planted, then the abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. So Paul, the master gardener, tells us to think upon those things which are good and honorable. Point number three is this: if your mind veers to the left, so will your life. Whichever way your mind veers, that's where your life's going to veer. You can't let your mind veer off into the left and not find yourself veering off in the same direction. Imagine driving down a beautiful mountain road, the wind in your hair, maybe the top down, maybe you're on a Harley without a helmet. You shouldn't be, but anyway. The sky above, the valley way below. But now imagine driving down that road with your tires pointing in the wrong direction. And every time you let off the brakes, it goes toward the cliff. Well, the picture just changed, didn't it? To this beautiful, picturesque road. To something that could kill you. See, it's not so beautiful anymore. Life is the same way. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But if you stray from the path, veering off into the ditch, it wasn't God that put you there, but your own steering or the lack thereof. How many has ever said this? And you don't have to raise your hand because everybody has said it. I don't know what I did to deserve this, or I don't know what I did to wind up here. Well, you know, I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago. I went to General Assembly last week. That was not vacation, but I took my boat, and I drove my boat all the way to Destin, Florida. I didn't drive the boat. I pulled the boat all the way to Destin, Florida. And the next day, I launched the boat, and when I was getting ready to park, I noticed that I had a flat tire on the trailer. And I didn't go, oh, my God, what did I do to deserve this? I just parked the trailer. Looked to see what the problem was, and the inside tread of the trailer was gone. The outside looked good. The outside looked good. Yes. But the side that you couldn't see was barren. I didn't see a nail. I didn't see anything wrong with it, but I knew that that had to be the problem, the inside, because there was no tread there. Right. Somebody hear me. Oh, from what we've seen on the outside, because I'm telling you, I stopped 3 or 4 times in that track just to check and make sure my trailer was good, because I didn't want to have a flat on the way. But thank God I had put a spare in the boat and was ready to, and I just changed it and redid the tire. Took the tire and got a new one. And it's amazing that the trailer pulled better just because of one tire being bare on the inside. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Paul told the believers in Colossians to say, set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. When a car is properly aligned, it is a joy to drive. It almost steers itself, and you can let go of the wheel, and the ride is going to be straight. Oh, my gosh. So listen. When you have an alignment in your spirit and your soul, you ain't fighting every day. Every day is not a struggle. Well, Pastor, I've been struggling for 20 years. Then you need an alignment, baby. Pastor, I haven't had a calm day in 3 years. Now listen, there will be days, sometimes weeks, that we struggle like that because it's an attack of the enemy. But that's not because of alignment. A lack of alignment, you just struggle the whole time you're trying to go down the road. Life, I want you to hear me, can be enjoyable.
Amen.
You know, we tell people, if you're not enjoying your salvation, then you're doing it wrong. You don't need to go from one wreck to the next. You can go from glory to glory and from victory to victory instead of wreck to wreck to wreck to wreck. I've had people whose lives are going to hell in a handbasket say to me, well, you're lucky. You have a good life. And I look at them and go, you have no idea how hard I have fought for this good life. Woo! Somebody needs to hear me. And I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. On my own life, in the name of Jesus, I bind it. But I'm telling you this. See, I learned something a long time ago. If you feel yourself veering to the left, you can keep fighting and wear yourself and your vehicle out, or you can take it to the shop and say, God, I need an alignment. Tell me what I need to do to be on right standing with you. Stop being so preoccupied with your circumstances and start aligning your mind to think like God thinks. Let this mind, Philippians, I want you to write this down, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, here's the problem. And I struggle with it. I struggle with preventive maintenance. Heard you hear me? I struggle with preventive maintenance. Don't alarm. I struggle with it sometimes. Because here's what my daddy taught me. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? So you wait till it breaks and then you fix it. But then here's what some of us do. We wait till it breaks and it's a little too expensive to fix it now, so we'll wait for something else bigger to break. And we'll keep riding that joker until it all breaks down, and then where did I go wrong? Instead of when you feel it, oh, I need something done. Hey. Let me go see what's wrong with my life. I'm preaching to somebody. I don't know who you are yet, but I'm preaching to you. An aligned mind produces a smooth ride. Come on, somebody. An aligned mind produces a smooth ride. Glory to God. It'll make church more enjoyable. It'll make your marriage more enjoyable. I'm telling you, it'll make raising kids more enjoyable. Hallelujah to God. It'll make serving God more. It'll make serving people more enjoyable. Because with an aligned mind, faith is easy. Hey, with an aligned mind, you think like Jesus thinks or thought. You talk like Jesus talked. You reign over circumstances like Jesus reign over circumstances. Hallelujah. I want our four ladies, if you would make your way to begin to change. Let me just move into this altar service. That it would be real easy for me to say, if you need an alignment this morning, raise your hand. And the reality is everybody in this building should raise your hand. Because I'm in constant need. Every day of my life, I try to align my life and my thought process with God. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first thing you need to do. Is ask Him into your life to forgive you of your sin. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if that's you this morning, slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room? I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.